This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
Thank you, thank you. Please be seated, please be seated. Please be seated, please be seated. Wow. Milner, Georgia, huh? Uh-huh. It's what I call a destination church. You come here on purpose. It's not like you were driving by and you saw this church. Over the rivers and through the woods. It's not necessarily the end of the world, but sure enough, you can see the end of the world from here. And to think what you have done. I get to work with some amazing churches, and you need to know that Rock Springs gets mentioned in more places in the world because people think that you've got to be in some kind of a huge place to bring people together. But here we are in the middle of, in the middle. And what a great work that God has done, but he's done it through you. And you have been faithful, and thank God for you and for all that you continue to do. I've got three questions for you this morning. How did you get here? How did you get to this room? How did you get to be at this great church known as Rock Springs? How did I get here? Now, in my case, I was minding my own business, running my gas station, and your pastor came by. He said, "Ever been to church?" I said, "No." He said, "Do you believe in free speech?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Can you come and give one?" So here I am giving a... So some of you looking at me saying, he looks familiar. You might have seen me at my gas station. Some of you drove through my Dunkin' Donuts this morning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you come to my laundromat. And you just come to different places. I'm the hardest working dude you've seen. And get to preach here this morning. So the question becomes, how did I get here? How did I meet Pastor Benny? And how did I meet the person who introduced me? How did you get to this place? And now that you are here, what does that mean? What difference does that mean? I mean, why me? Why here? So what? That's the three questions I want to answer today. Everyone together. Why me? Why here? So what? Okay, get your hands out there. Get your hands. We're going to do some exercise here. I mean, this is the most exercise you're going to get all day because you're going to go for those nachos and guac in a little bit. Here we go. One, two, three. Why me? Why here? So what? One, two, three.
Why me? Why here? So
what? Okay, and the so what, we're going to exercise a new muscle group along the shoulders and neck. Like, you know, church folk are used to using those shoulder neck muscles all the time, you know? So here we go. One, two, three. Why me? Why here? So what? In the book of Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, there's a story about the last day of Jesus. Mark chapter 15, verse 16, and on says this. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns about his head and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. Verse 21. And they compel one Simon a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. The father of Alexander and Rufus to bear his cross. So here's the storyline. Jesus has been captured in the Garden of Gethsemane. They have taken him to Pilate's court, to Herod's court, to Antipas. They have mocked him. They have beat him. They have bludgeoned him. They have pummeled him. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, says to us that he was beat up so bad that you could not even recognize his face. It was totally a scarred, marred face. And in the scripture, after they'd done all of that, they took a crown of thorns and didn't just place it on his head. The Bible tells us they beat it into his head. So there's blood coming down his face. His beard has been plucked. They spit on his face because they spat on him. And now he has been through this agonizing torture all night long. His friends have forsaken him. His disciples have gone away. There's nobody there. He is by himself. And now they put his cross on his back after the bludgeoning all night long and say to him, carry your cross to Golgotha, where you're going to be crucified. So the story begins, Jesus coming out of Jerusalem with the cross on his back. However, the story also starts with a family known as Simon, Simon the Cyrenian. Simon the Cyrenian is from the town of Cyrene. So where is Cyrene? North part of Africa. There's a country called Libya. We hear about that from time to time. In Libya, there's a city called Tripoli. Tripoli, now known as Tripoli, used to be known as Cyrene. How do I know that? Because if you read a portion of the Bible you usually don't read, it's in the back of your Bible called maps. So, you know, when the preacher gets boring, that's what we do. We look at maps. And so, Daddy Simon, his two boys, Rufus and Alexander, are going to go to Jerusalem. That's a long trip. That's 1,800 miles from Cyrene to Jerusalem. I Googled yesterday trying to figure out what is 1,800 miles from Milner, Georgia. Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona. You start walking from Milner, doesn't matter what the weather is like, it's a long walk to Phoenix, Arizona. So they're going to take a walk, a walking trip. It's going to take them 3 months. Okay, anybody in here ever taken a vacation to family, a road trip? And you haven't even backed out of the driveway. And they want to know what? That's why every vacation starts with somebody being homicidal. If you ask me that again, ask your mother. And so Simon and his two boys, Rufus and Alexander, take this walking journey for 3 months. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And now they have camped the night before they're going into Jerusalem. Now, why are they making this trip? Because they're going to go to the holiest festival that Jewish people have, known as the Passover. It is the biggest festival. So for 3 months they've been going. They've timed it just right. They're going to get there the day before, and then they're going to go to the Passover, the greatest festival of Jewish tradition. They wake up the morning. They can see Jerusalem in the distance. And as they start walking towards Jerusalem, they start noticing there's a big crowd. And they are yelling something. They are chanting something. And there's dust everywhere because the crowd is stirring it up. They don't know what's going on. And as they keep moving toward the crowd keep coming toward them. And now they can hear what the crowd is saying. Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him! They don't know what that's all about. The crowd gets closer, and they notice there are Roman soldiers who are leading this crowd. And in the midst of the Roman soldiers, there's this man. He's all bloodied. He's all bruised. His eyes are swollen shut. His robe is soaking with his own blood. He's carrying this heavy cross. Simon does not know what's going on. Wi-Fi has been bad. They haven't been able to log into the Jerusalem Times. What's going on here? So as the crowd comes, Simon and his two boys, Rufus and Alexander, step back for a moment. The crowd comes. Roman soldiers are there. Jesus is there. And right where Simon is standing, Jesus falters. He stumbles. He falls. The cross on top of him. The only moment in the scriptures we find Jesus totally helpless. Because people couldn't help him and heaven wouldn't help him. The loneliest spot in his life, the only place where Jesus needed somebody else, because he realized we are better together. And as the scene is playing out, there are three lessons I want to highlight for you. Lesson number one, Simon was there. Simon was there. How many of you know that nothing in the life of Jesus happened by chance? Would you agree with me that everything that happened in his life was prophesied in the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New Testament? All the way from where he was going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, to how he was going to be born, the life he was going to live, how he was going to drive. Everything was prophetically ordained from the beginning. It was choreographed in heaven from the beginning of time. So, Jesus has just been captured the night before. Simon the Cyrenian and his boys left their home 3 months ago. Heavenly timing. 3 months ago, he left his home. One night ago, he was taken by the Romans. And God is moving their lives together. 3 months, one night, but God had a plan and purpose for his life. I'm here to tell you, things that might seem like it just happens, it seems like they are divine coincidences. Oh no, heaven is choreographing your life even right now. You got to know that God is at work bringing your life together. It is not an accident that you're here today. It's not an accident that you are at Rock Springs. It's not an accident that you're part of a life group, because God is bringing your lives together. Simon was there on purpose. See, here's what we have to understand. Simon was there and you are here. Why me? Why here? So what? It was 2012. My wife Brenda and I were invited to come speak at a church in Augusta, Georgia. Large church of a few thousand people, but I'd never been there, did not know anybody there, had not even met the pastor. But they said to us, when you come speak for us on Sunday, can you come in on Saturday, and we want to have dinner with you and our leadership team. Free food, I'm there. So my wife Brenda and I drove up to Augusta. We went to this restaurant, a beautiful 5-star restaurant, and they had reserved a private room with a big ornate, like an oak table, an oval kind of a table. We were the last ones to get there, and there were 2 seats left for us, and Brenda and I sat down there. As we sat down there, these people started staring at us, like gawking at us, like weird, you know? And silence, and nobody saying anything. So my wife, you know, is hitting me under the table with her knee, like, let's get out of here. And I'm saying, but we have not ate yet. Don't forget the purpose, we are here. We drove all the way from Atlanta to here to get the tacos that they have here. And then the pastor's wife, her name is Rhonda, she speaks up, she's sitting somewhere over there, and she says, I'm sure you're wondering why we are staring at you. I say, yeah, pray tell. They said, we started our church in 1986. And when we started this church in Augusta in 1986, there was just a few of us. Not a few thousand of us, but there was just a few of us. And we got a word from the Lord which said that there was going to be a man from India by the name of Sam. He's going to come to your church and he's going to speak to you, and there's going to be a shift in your church. So since 1986, now remember, I'm with them in 2012. And since 1986, we have a prayer meeting every week. We just have a prayer meeting. And one of the things on the prayer meeting is, where is Sam? You're Sam. You're from India. I started thinking, what was I doing in 1986? In 1986, my wife Brenda and I were pastoring a church in Michigan. In 1986, they were starting a church in Augusta. But guess what God was doing? He was bringing people's lives together. And that is the beauty of God's plan for your life, because God has destiny on your life and is taking you somewhere. You're not drifting through life. It's nothing accidental about your life. God is at work for fulfilling his purposes and your divine purposes in your life one step at a time. And somebody in here needs to be able to recognize that about your life and get courage from that, because in the hardest of your times, God is at work. Let's do this. Now, I know 3 months is a... So we're going to do this slowly. And I know 3 months is a long time, so, but... And we're going to say the word together. One, two, three, together. Okay, let's do all four of them. Why me? Together. Good class. Give yourselves a hand. Good class. Very good. I wish the other two services were as good as you. Lesson number two. So often God will ask you to do things you don't want to do. Anyone has a witness to that? God will ask you to do things you sure enough don't want to do. So here is Simon. Here is Jesus. Fallen over, cross on top of him, surrounded by Roman soldiers. And the dilemma that the Roman soldiers have now is, how do we get this cross to Calvary on Golgotha's way? How do we get it there? They had a few options, but very limited options. The Roman soldiers could carry the cross. But they were not going to do that because they were the occupiers. They were the ones who were in charge of the place. They couldn't ask a Jewish person to pick up the cross, because if they picked up the cross, they would become unclean. And if they became unclean, they could not celebrate the feast of the Passover, which is what is the greatest thing that happens in the Jewish annual calendar. So what are we going to do? They look over, they see a man who's dressed differently, obviously a foreigner. And they said to him, you carry his cross. Oh, you don't understand, Mr. Roman soldier. My name is Simon. I've been coming from Cyrene. I've been traveling for 3 months. I am jet lagged. And the only purpose that we are traveling this distance is to go to the Feast of Passover. And if I pick up this cross, you see, Mr. Roman soldier, I will not be able to do what I've been traveling for 3 months to do. But the Bible says they compelled him when he felt the poke of the sword on his chest. He got motivated. Now you got to understand, you and I know this man with the cross as Jesus, the Savior. Simon has no idea. Obviously, he's done something really bad. Obviously, he's been through the judicial system. Obviously, they're going to kill him. He must be a bad man. But then he picks up the cross and starts carrying it for Jesus. The blood of Jesus, before it could be shed for you and me, was on Simon's back. Have you ever wondered what conversation took place between Jesus and Simon? Maybe Jesus said to Simon, where you been, man? Couldn't you meet me earlier? I don't know what took place, but something happened on that road. Because, see, I have lived long enough to know that my greatest appointments have come in my greatest disappointments. In the darkest of my life, the light has shone the brightest. You might be going through a disappointing life in your life, in your things right now. You may be going through a surreal experience, but you got to know something. That if you're disappointed, God has appointed. In your greatest disappointment, God has got an appointment for you. In your darkest hour, He's still shining. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. Somebody in here needs to celebrate the fact that he is with us. In the darkest time in our life, God is with us. Lesson number three is we are better together. In Romans chapter 16, verse 13. Romans chapter 16, verse 13. Paul says this. Salute who? Rufus. Chosen in the Lord. And his mother. And mine. Let's take a brief look at what's going on. So we read earlier in the Gospel of Mark. Mark names Simon. He names Rufus. He names Alexander. So why does he do that? Because you see, Matthew was written to the Jewish community. Mark was written to the Roman church in Rome. Luke is written to the Greeks. And John is written to the church at large. So when Mark writes his gospel, he knows it's going to be read in Rome. And they will know who Simon is, who Rufus is, who Alexander is. Fast forward, here's Paul writing the book of Romans. And he's writing the Roman church, but the timing of it is important because Rome has got a great church, but Paul has not been there yet. So Paul is writing this letter before he gets to Rome and tells them, I'm coming and here's what's going on. Here's the theology of the things I believe in. And he closes the book in 16, chapter 16, the end of the book, end of the book of Romans, and says, and please say hello to Rufus and his mother, who's like my mother. Now, how did the Simon family that used to live in Africa, how did they meet Paul, and how do they end up in the Roman church in Italy? I don't know, you don't know, so let's make it up. At least I'm telling you I'm making this up. Pastor Benny never does that. He's not going to watch this video, I'm sure. Because I want to come back, and because of this, he may not let me come back. So Simon could not go into Jerusalem. He went to Jerusalem, couldn't go to the Passover, because now he's unclean, he touched the cross, he's got blood on him. Him and his boys, after whatever happens there, 3 months later, get home. So they've been away for over 6 months. Mrs. Simon is home. She wants to know what happened. And of course, Rufus and Alexander, being the boys they were, they start telling their mother about daddy almost got killed and the Roman soldier had sword out and he had blood on him. See, mama, the blood on daddy's toga. It's that man's blood. And then Simon starts talking to his wife. Something happened there. Something happened there. Then they got a U-Haul. Obviously, you all don't read your Bible. You ought to read your Bible more. They got a U-Haul. This time they drove. And they come to Jerusalem. Freeze that scene. In Acts chapter 9, there's a young man by the name of Saul, Rabbi Saul, who's persecuting the church. In Acts chapter 9, he's on the way to Damascus to destroy some more Christians and some more churches. And God intercepts his life, saves him, and now we know him as Apostle Paul. Somehow, this man gets saved. He ends up in the Simon household, where he is mentored and tutored and developed and trained by Mrs. Simon. She did not know at that time that one day this man would write 2/3 of the New Testament. She didn't have any idea, but they were together. And then the Simon family relocates to Italy, to Rome. This interchange between Simon and Jesus made this an intercontinental blessing from Africa to Asia to Europe. You see, when we do life together, we have no idea what God has in store for us. And when we do life together, we are better together. And not only are we better together, His kingdom explodes and His kingdom enhances and His kingdom is bigger simply because somebody realized, why me? Why here? So what? And God is moving our destinies together. Let me pray with you. Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us that you are always at work in our lives. That in the darkest moments of our life, you don't leave us alone, but you meet us on the pathway. Lord, there are brothers and sisters in this room who are finding encouragement in knowing God is at work. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one's looking around. The greatest appointment that God has for you in your life is to bring you into the kingdom. The greatest appointment that God has for you in your life is for you to say, Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me of my sins. The greatest appointment that God has for you in your life is to give you brand new future and brand new life. In a moment, I'm going to count to three. At the count of three, if you are in this room, you're online, you're in Macon, you're in the branch, you are in Griffin, and you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, at the count of three, just lift up your hand. And right where you're seated, we'll pray with you. We'll all pray together right where you're seated. Maybe at one time you served the Lord with gladness in your heart, and then life happened, not serving Him like you know you need to. But now, this morning, you are saying, that's exactly what I do. I want to come back home. I want to rededicate my life. I want to serve with gladness in my heart. I want to be what God wants me to be. And I want you to be able to take me back home, Jesus. So when I count to three, just lift up your hand as well. So on the count of three, you want to give your life to the Lord. The count of three, you want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Just lift up your hands. One, two, three. Can I see your hands? Can I see your hands? Can I see your hands? Thank you, thank you, thank you. I want everyone to repeat this prayer after me. Everyone, please repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming to this world, dying for me so I could live. I give my life. I give my all. You're my King. You're my Lord. From this day on, I will serve you forever and ever in Jesus' name. Let's celebrate that. Shall we do that? Come on, celebrate, celebrate. Celebrate that, celebrate. Come on, come on, come on. Just 30 more seconds. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We celebrate you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry. I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations. on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling, He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.